Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Hope you had a nice weekend. And joining me in studio is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Yes, great to be here on this beautiful Monday.
Yeah, it's summer's knocking on the door, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
It has arrived.
It's growling at the front door.
Hey, I love it, man. Hotter the better, as far as I'm concerned.
I love the idea. I almost reverted right back to New England idea. I love the idea of it when it was cold, and now that I'm on the cusp of it, I'm going, oh man, it's going to be hot.
Can't wait for October. I always got something to complain about.
Too cold, too hot. I complain.
Yeah. Speaking of, you said, how's the word idea?
Well, in New England, general rule of thumb is where there is an R in the word, it's silent. And where there is no R, you put one in. So we're conservationists. So I have a good idea about where to park the car.
That's okay. Funny. Oh, that's funny. My dad, you know, was raised in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And but he had this thing about the word idea. He would pronounce it Idy.
Idy.
You ever heard that before?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
That's
but
country.
It's country south is what that is. Idy.
Yeah. I have an Idy about that.
I used to say, Dad, the word is idea. Okay. I'm trying to help you. No.
I have a lot of sympathy.
Tim, I'm not big on your ID.
Yeah. I have a lot of sympathy for people's predilection towards unique pronunciation,
right.
Having come from I've lived in a lot of places. I've lived in California, New Mexico, Texas, Arizona, Arkansas,
and New England.
And now Mississippi. Since I lived in New England,
right,
and been mocked everywhere. So when someone says something like you said about your dad, ID, I go, hey, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
You pronounce however you want to pronounce.
Yeah.
That's an impressive list. Are you on the witness protection program?
Shh.
Dad would also say dance.
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 That's for dance.
Oh.
Dance.
Well, that's kind of... Southern adds,
right?
Southerners seem to add a couple of syllables.
Yeah,
you know,
well, I'm telling
dance.
You get. I was a lifelong Southerner.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you guys can attest growing up where you did. If I get 20 miles outside of town, I have a hard time understanding these people. Because
yeah.
it goes from Southern accent to
country Southern,
way back in the sticks accent,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So you have to do an interpretation from city to country.
That's right.
Anyway, I hope everybody had a nice weekend. A lot to talk about today on the program. Ed, you want to tell folks how they can join us?
Absolutely. If you'd like to watch this program, we have a live video stream. You can access it in two different ways. You can go to Facebook Live. Search for Today's Issues. That's the name of the program. Click through. You can watch us do the live. You can watch the live stream, or you can go to our own streaming platform. That is streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, and you can watch the program there.
All right, Fred, what's first on the agenda here?
You know, when Joe Biden gave his inaugural address, one of the themes was that he was going to work to bring the country together because he felt the country was divided after 4 years of Donald Trump. Well, we're, what, about 3 years into Joe Biden now?
Yeah, two and a half.
And I think most people would agree the country has not come together under Joe Biden.
Probably more divided. Yeah.
He did not help the cause at all. He went to Howard University, gave a graduation address there on the weekend, and he could not get through that speech without throwing out the term white supremacy once again. So I want you to have a little listen to part of the speech here. He said white supremacy is, quote, the most dangerous terrorist threat in America. Cut number one.
It's a battle that's never really over. But on the best days, enough of us have the guts and the hearts to stand up for the best in us. To choose love over hate, unity over disunity, progress over retreat. To stand up against the poison of white supremacy, as I did in my inaugural address, to single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy. I'm not saying this because I'm at a black HBCU. I say wherever I go. To stand up for truth over lies, lies told for power and profit. To confront the ongoing assault to subvert our elections, suppress our right to vote.
That's just lie after lie after lie. It's hard to stomach. Now, when he said HBCU, that's historically black college or university, Howard University's in Washington, D.C.
Did you notice why did the audience laugh when he said, I'm not saying this just because I'm at a black university?
Because they knew that was a lie.
Right. That's my point. They're like going, come on, man.
Yeah.
You're saying that because you're at a black school. You're pandering. We know what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there wasn't a rousing applause. I don't know how many people were there. It wasn't a rousing stand-up applause when he said white supremacy is the greatest threat to our country.
But it was an applause line. You know, they were responding to the pandering.
Yeah, but it sounded kind of passive to me. Like, it didn't sound like, yeah, you know, a roar. You know what I'm saying? I think right there, there's so many, like you said, lie after lie after lie. He's just straight pandering. He's saying, I'm going to need y'all to vote for me next time around.
And he's been bleeding support, at least in terms of polls, from the black community.
Also, white supremacy is the only, I guess, white people are the only group you can slam in general terms and get away with it. In other words, if you say Islamic terrorism, the left has a visceral reaction to that because they'll say it's not fair to lump all Islamic people in with those who commit acts of terrorism, to which I would agree that's not fair. There is a reason for the expression Islamic terrorism because there are teachings in the Quran which you read them and you go, this is encouraging acts of violence against non-Muslims. However, the vast, vast majority of Muslims around the world are not violent people. They're just people trying to live their lives. And you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I do think you need to be careful about making broad generalizations like that. But when it comes to white people, the left has no problem saying white supremacy. If Biden wanted to say, you know, I have a problem with any kind of ethnic supremacy. It's a real problem. No, he just wants to single out white supremacy, which is, where is it? Mm-hmm. Where you get it? Yes, once a year or so, you'll get somebody like in Buffalo committing acts of violence against people because they're of color or black, but you get that by people of color against people who are white too.
Well, recently the black guy killed two, walked up and basically executed and, two white guys.
Yes. Again, it's just obvious, overt, blatant pandering is all it is.
The folks in Chicago every weekend who
right.
live in Chicago,
right.
they're not worried about white supremacy?
No.
It's just a sad fact.
Because
it's mostly black on black
right.
crimes.
Right.
Same with New York.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's just playing to the crowd. That's what Joe Biden is doing. You know, he goes down south to Atlanta there several months ago. It's Jim Crow laws. All of this kind of stuff. He just keeps playing to...
It's called the race card.
That's what he's doing.
I will say this, too. I don't think you guys are going far enough in criticizing what the president said, okay? Everything you guys said is true.
So now we're liberals.
No. And I'm taking the conservative
position.
You're going
to take the conservative view.
What he said was full of lies, okay? All that you guys said is true. But to me, what's particularly dangerous about what he did and what he has done, as he said, starting with his inauguration, and this is going on in our schools and our universities, it is taking something that 99% of people in this country would agree with. White supremacy is wrong wherever it exists. Let's say it exists in 0.5% of people, whatever, okay? We all agree it's wrong. But he's taking that and he's sticking that label on conservative policies.
Yes, yes.
Which is why he mentioned
yes.
trying to keep people from voting.
Right.
Okay? So when they slap this label on, they slap this label on school choice policies. We want to make sure our elections are safe and secure. They slap that label of white supremacy on it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now the president can say, people who want to change our voting laws to require an ID, they're white supremacists and they're a threat.
Yep.
The biggest threat to our country. It is a cynical attempt not only to pander, but to demonize the opposition, the political opposition, and to chill free speech. And I think people are waking up to it and they're saying, we don't care what you say, which is going to further divide this country. So the unifier in chief is proving to be the most divisive candidate in recent memory.
You know, another thing is the vast majority of people in this country of all colors get along just fine.
Right. Yes.
We get along just fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have your whacked out people every once in a while. But systemic racism, while that did exist in our country's history, that's no longer true today. There are opportunities for everybody to make a better life for yourself,
mm-hmm.
to, for education, advancement. That doesn't exist anymore, what he's talking about, systemic racism caused by white supremacy.
Right.
So I think you're right. I think it is dangerous what he's doing, but he's pandering to these folks in the audience, and the Democrats have to have 90% of the black vote every election, or their chances,
or they're toast.
Yes. Yes. So they have to continuously try to whip up people into a frenzy of saying, if Republicans get in, you won't be able to vote.
They want to put you back in chains.
That's what Biden said.
It's craziness.
Yeah, yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next topic, Fred.
All right, while the president was speaking there at Howard University, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, went to Iowa on the weekend. And the expectation...
He just liked vacationing in Iowa, Fred, or
quite
maybe
so.
there's a motivation here.
Corn and bacon.
Yeah. It could be. Yeah, the second time he's been back to Iowa in the last month or so. And the expectation is building and building that he's going to make an announcement that he's jumping in.
I wonder if it might come this week. Any thought? You heard any of that?
Well, we've talked for months that once the legislative session was over in Florida,
right.
That was over about 10 days ago.
Right.
Almost 10 days ago.
I think he'll make his announcement from Florida.
Right, sure.
In
Tallahassee,
whenever he comes back.
His hometown.
Is he home now?
He's come back home.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, he was in Iowa on the weekend, just gave a speech, very casual. But have a listen to what he had to say. It may have been some of the ingredients that'll go into an eventual announcement. Cut number 9.
We must reject the culture of losing that has infected our party in recent years. The time for excuses is over. If we get distracted, if we focus the election on the past or on other side issues, then I think the Democrats are going to beat us again. And I think it'll be very difficult to recover from that defeat.
All right.
Yeah.
So got to stop looking back. Got to look forward.
Well, what do you... Yeah, couple things. One is he has not officially announced, although that's coming in the next few days, maybe a couple of weeks. I don't know how long, when exactly he's going to announce, but it's a foregone conclusion. I'm talking about Governor Ron DeSantis. What he's talking about right there, it's a reference about, I think it's a reference about Donald Trump, the former president, continuing to talk about the 2020 election. That's what I think he's talking about. And the fact that, let's face it, 2018, 2020, 2022, Republicans have underperformed across the country. And people thought there'd be a red wave last November. There was a red trickle.
Right.
So I think what Governor DeSantis is saying, and I don't think it's all just a criticism of President Trump talking about the past. I think he is talking about somewhat. We've got to start winning elections, and so I think that's what he's referencing. You know, President Trump was supposed to be in Iowa as well on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
but there was a weather issue,
mm-hmm.
and I know I've seen some back and forth on this. You know, and listen, the president. Back and forth in the sense of, well, no, President Trump canceled because the crowd wasn't expected to be as big as possible. I think that's unfair. When you're in South Florida and you have to fly to Iowa to do an event, you can't wait till 2 hours before to make
right.
a call on that. So I think the severe weather prediction for Iowa, they looked at that in the morning and said, you know, better to cancel than have a bunch of people out in the field where he was going to have his event, his rally.
Smart thing.
And put them at risk. You
right.
know, that'd have been terrible if something would, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I don't think President Trump had a choice but to cancel the event that he was supposed to hold in Iowa. But do you guys know something? We're 8 months away from Iowans going to their caucuses.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be worn out with politics by the time we get to the first caucus.
It almost doesn't stop in terms of the political wrangling and finding your position. It used to be, okay, we had a presidential election. Now we got 3 years before we have to go through this again. It really never stops.
No.
Well, you know, President Trump announced, was it the fall?
Yes, it was last year.
Yeah, he announced
fall, I think.
That was really, really early,
yeah.
I thought, to announce.
Well, he was trying to get ahead of the field and try to set himself up as the clear front runner before other people jumped in.
Well, it's kind of, you're speaking of the former president, I think he believes that Ron DeSantis is going to throw his name in the ring there. And he keeps having things to say about the governor of Florida. Cut number 10.
The problem with Ron DeSanctimonious is that he needs a personality transplant, and those are not yet available. Almost all congressmen and women that served with him and knew him well supported me, some of them surprisingly so, because of their relationship with Ron. I would say that when it comes to lack of personality, Ron would be in a class with Asa Hutchinson, and that's not good. Ron's foreign trip was a total bomb. They didn't even know what he was doing there. What are you doing here, Ron? Why are you here? It was a mess. Thank you.
You know, I'm so tired of this garbage from Trump. Just insult after insult after insult against Governor DeSantis. He doesn't have to do that. We've talked about that before. It's just exhausting. And is he going to keep this up for 8 months? He's going to come up with new insults every week for the governor of Florida?
Well, I think I've said this before. That's a missed opportunity for the former president. Okay. He's not listening to me. All right. But if I were him, what I would have said was, I would have avoided all the insults about Ron DeSantis' personality. Okay, first of all, you don't want to bring up the issue of personality because your personality is certainly not boring, but it is. It can become a lightning rod. So you don't want to bring up issues and remind people of why they might not want to vote for you, all right, in Trump's case. But I would avoid those kinds of things, and this is what I would have said. I would have said, first of all, the last part about Ron DeSantis' trip to overseas, I think he went to Japan, he went to Israel. I would have said what he said. Why did he go? They didn't even know who he is. What are you doing here? I, on the other hand, have loads of foreign policy experience. I have met with world leaders. They knew why I was there. And I want people to vote for me because I'm the person with the most experience. He could have flipped that and used that issue to his advantage. But now what's happening is we're talking about the insults. You know, you're going to have people saying, well, I don't know. Does Ron DeSantis have
a personality transplant?
I think I'm going to check him out. You see what I'm saying? You can drive people to your opponent by saying things.
Oh, he has.
Yeah.
He has. Listen, I've talked to a lot of people who were Trump voters. And I'm not saying Trump won't win. Yeah. He's well ahead in the polls at this juncture. Uh-huh. Again, with 8 months to go, a lot can happen, right? But I've talked to a lot of people who, when Trump started going after DeSantis with these personal insults, it turned them off to Trump to where now they're going, well, I think I'm going to vote for DeSantis or maybe somebody else. I'm going to look at my options because the way that Trump has bashed the governor of Florida. And also, I would say this. Again, I don't think it's politically wise. Take away I think it's rude, it's rude to say the least the things he's saying about Governor DeSantis, but I don't think it's wise because a lot of people who would say today I'm going to vote for Trump, you would say well who's your second choice? They would say well DeSantis, the governor of Florida. And so you have Trump insulting the second choice of his own supporters in most cases. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So if you were to – and secondly, politically, I think it's unwise to do what President Trump's doing here, is because when it comes time to – let's say Trump wins the Republican nomination and it comes time to unify the party, the Republican Party, because they're going to need – the Republican Party would need all hands on deck.
Right.
I don't care if Biden, as weak as he is, that would still be a very competitive race,
right,
between Trump and Biden. Okay. And so how are you going to get the enthusiasm of all the other people, probably half of the Republican Party voters who are not going to vote for Trump, if you spend the next 8 months hurling insults at the governor of Florida and the people who support him? You think Ron DeSantis is going to want to come up on stage and give a hearty endorsement of Trump after he's been called every name in the book?
Right.
Yeah.
No. That's now people would say, well, he called Ted Cruz a lying Ted and said his wife was ugly. Remember when he put up? Remember when he said that?
Yeah.
And they get along fine today. Okay. I'm just saying this is unwise politically on the part of Trump, but I don't think anybody can tell him anything. I think he gets on that computer and he lets it rip. For better or for worse.
Yeah.
He lets it rip. There is a policy decision, not a personality decision, that President Trump has come out criticizing the governor on, that we do want to talk about when we get back from the break. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR, Tim, Ed, and Fred. And you got an announcement, Ed?
Yes, just wanted we mentioned last week, and a lot of our folks have been listening to American Family Radio and have been hearing about the Marriage Family Life Conference 2023. That is going to be here in the hometown of our flagship station, Tupelo, Mississippi. It is July 6th through the 8th. Listen, folks, this is a powerful conference for the entire family. And the sign-up deadline was on Friday. They still have I don't know how many spots they have open, but it's probably going to be less than 50 or 100. I think they're trying to get 1,200 in. They're pretty close. So they're going to extend the deadline, and you can go register. You can go register today. I'm not sure when the actual deadline is. Do you? June the 1st. All right. So a couple more weeks for the deadline. You go to marriagefamilylife.net and register. Click on the Register Now tab. marriagefamilylife.net. There are still some spots open, and they are extending the deadline to make sure we get a full house. I think they're well over 1,100 scheduled. And by the way, when I say this for the whole family, folks, you're not going to just stick your kids in a closet. They have teaching tracks for the entire family, targeting the age appropriateness and what kids can handle. There are all kinds of things. Your kids will be taught about apologetics and about scripture and marriage, family life, all those kinds of issues. So this isn't just babysitting. There are instructors who'll be teaching your kids as well. So marriagefamilylife.net, click on the Register Now tab. There is still time.
You're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Fred, before the break, I said that former President Trump is now attacking Governor Ron DeSantis for his abortion stance. Is that true?
Yeah, the Hill has a story that was published just this morning. The former president was asked about the 6-week ban on abortion that Governor DeSantis has signed into law in Florida. I'm just going to read a quote from an interview that Mr. Trump gave to The Messenger. This is a quote from Mr. Trump. "If you look at what DeSantis did, a lot of people don't even know if he knew what he was doing. But he signed 6 weeks, and many people within the pro-life movement feel that was too harsh," end quote.
Well, okay. Again, what happened in the state of Florida, the legislature passed an abortion limitation of 6 weeks. In other words, you have to get an abortion within the first 6 weeks of your pregnancy. After that, it's going to be illegal in the state of Florida.
Correct.
And what Mr. Trump is saying is, well, if you look at what DeSantis did, a lot of people don't even know if he knew what he was doing. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. Would anybody gander a guess?
Well, I can't gander to take a shot at what I think he was thinking. It is a way I am not sure about what the former President Trump's views are on abortion. In other words, I've never heard him spell out just how strict he would be on abortion. So I think his views are pragmatic. I think he has a core conviction about human life. He had that experience you always talk about a couple that had a son that they had been thinking about aborting, and then his views were changed when he saw how that young man, I think it was a young man, had grown up. That was kind of what spurred him to promote a pro-life belief. But I don't know how far his views go. Like any exceptions for the life of the mother or rape or incest.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I think he's using this as an opportunity to criticize the Governor DeSantis.
He said, President Trump said, of DeSantis, but he signed a six weeks law, and many people within the pro-life community, pro-life movement, feel that that was too harsh, end of quote. I would like President Trump to cite those within the pro-life community who feel like a six-week ban is too harsh.
He's not answering media questions about whether he thinks it's too harsh.
Right. Yes. He said, when asked about whether, I'm getting this off Fox News, when asked about whether he, Trump, would support a six-week ban, Trump replied, quote, I'm looking at all options, end of quote.
So maybe 6 weeks isn't too harsh.
Looking at all options. What does that mean?
I don't think Trump has a position on this. It's just that whatever DeSantis picked, if he had picked 7 weeks, if he had picked 8 weeks, I think Trump would have said it's wrong because.
There is a genuine political argument or debate or discussion on how restrictive you can be on abortion and still be acceptable to the majority of Americans in a presidential election.
Right.
Okay. That's not in any way, shape, or form. Our position is, and always has been, what the Bible says, that life begins at conception and should be protected legally. Unborn babies, including, you know, but I think what I'm saying, 6 weeks is as restrictive an abortion law as you're going to find in any state in America. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
About that. So, and it depends on what state it is, too. One of the things that President Trump did, he got three Supreme Court justices appointed by the help of Mitch McConnell, his arch enemy. But McConnell did, to his credit, help get those three. It was Trump first deserves the credit, but to get those three justices appointed. And then the Roe versus Wade was overturned, known as Dobbs. And that's to President Trump's credit, mm-hmm. Right? He fulfilled that promise.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now on abortion, I think it would be helpful if President Trump would come out and say what he really believes on where the restrictions should be.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just say it's a state-by-state issue. If the people of Florida feel like 6 weeks is too restrictive, then they'll punish their legislators
mm-hmm.
at the polls.
Right.
At the election booth, right? Mm-hmm. Including DeSantis, because he's still governor of Florida. Right. We'll see what happens with that. But that's a policy issue that Trump is going after DeSantis on. All right, next story, Fred.
Well, a lot of people are talking about the second-degree manslaughter charge that was leveled at 24-year-old Daniel Penny in New York. If you're not familiar with this story, he is the U.S. Marine Corps veteran who, on a subway train in New York City, there was a man, according to reports, his name is Jordan Neely. He was acting up, threatening violence against passengers on the subway. Daniel Penny, the U.S. Marine Corps veteran, put Mr. Neely in a headlock. Mr. Neely ended up passing away. Mr. Penny has white skin. Mr. Neely, black skin. It turned into a race issue very quickly. There were large protests in New York. They wanted Mr. Penny charged. Mr. Penny has said that all he wanted to do was kind of intervene and stop potential violence aboard the subway. Alvin Bragg is the, I guess, well-known prosecutor now in New York. He skipped over a grand jury, and now he has charged Daniel Penny with second-degree manslaughter. There's a lot of criticism from various quarters over why the charge. A lot of people say, you know, there are Good Samaritan laws where they expect citizens to intervene if there is violence or potential violence going to occur. A lot of people are speaking out on behalf of Daniel Penny. There is a crowdfunding that's reached, is it almost 2 million?
Well, it's 1.5 million was the last figure that I saw. Maybe it's higher now.
Yeah, he was released Friday on a $100,000 bond. Apparently, his lawyer, Mr. Penny's lawyer, is going to be interviewed on Fox later today. But a lot of people feel that this was Alvin Bragg once again. It is, and race is entering into the arguments that if a black person stopped another black person, there probably wouldn't be any charges in this case. We don't know that for sure, but there is speculation out there. So a lot of folks upset. Former federal prosecutor Francis Hicks, he was on Fox and just talked about this, and obviously he's not in agreement with the charge, cut number four.
But for this case, which is a felony, which involves someone's death, he didn't bother to go to grand jury. He just brought the charges himself, and he brought them very quickly, which certainly suggests he was in a hurry, which I think might mean he's feeling some political pressure from his left flank. After all, it was only after the charges that we found out that another eyewitness has come forward to say that the person who was killed was actually making threats.
Yes, the person who was killed also had multiple former charges against him, including assaulting an elderly lady on the subway. So we'll have to see where this one goes.
Well, first of all, this is the reason why you should have laws and you should follow the laws without respect to ideology, which is something that is not happening in Manhattan or New York City as a whole. It has become politicized, and when that happens, nobody knows what the rules are. Right? Nobody knows how the law is going to come down. Nobody knows who's going to be arrested and who's going to be charged and who can get out on bail and who can't, because the leftists have control, are in control of New York City, and the rule of law is out and politics is in. Second of all, I would say you've got to decide one way or the other. You either have Good Samaritan laws, you either allow people to intervene, or you allow chaos and anarchy inside. And inside a city the size of New York, it'll turn into a bloodbath.
Yeah.
And now I don't know whether or not Penny held this guy in the chokehold too long. Obviously, he died. But I do know this. The gentleman who'd been making threats had a long rap sheet. In my mind, he shouldn't have been on the street.
Mm-hmm.
He'd still be alive if he had been held accountable for the crimes that he
committed. I didn't see the video. Is there a video of the whole incident?
I have seen images. I haven't seen a video of the whole.
Yeah. There is video available.
If you want to know why people sit by and watch other in New York, especially in big cities, they get desensitized to this kind of thing and they won't intervene, they won't help. You say, well, why isn't anybody helping? Why has everybody got a video camera?
Yeah.
It's because stuff like this.
That's a good point.
Stuff like this. You get involved and something goes wrong. Listen, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do morally or ethically, just to sit by and watch people, you know, attacked. Especially, I'm saying you wonder why people don't get involved. They say, you know, if I get involved, then I could be killed, number one. Or if you get into a situation like this, here he is, this fellow, this Marine, trying to help the people from being, I guess, physically attacked by this guy. He was threatening them.
Yes.
With violence.
Right.
And so the guy, as I read it, was one of the people on the subway there with him said he was just sitting in his chair, this Marine.
Mm-hmm.
What's the gentleman's name? Penny?
Daniel Penny.
Marine, Mr. Penny was just sitting there minding his own business in his chair, mm-hmm. I guess going to his destination. This guy started, in other words, Penny wasn't looking for a fight or
to get
any kind of altercation. They were saying, in fact, he ignored it, and then felt like the threat was too serious that he had to restrain this guy.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You restrain the guy. Unfortunately, he dies. The guy dies, and now he's being charged. You see why people don't get involved a lot of times,
right?
This kind of
because you can simply shove someone. Someone can trip, fall backwards, hit their head, and die. I mean, that's not unusual for those kinds of things to happen. So, to your point, it is understandable why a lot of people don't want to get involved because it's a fearful situation. And I don't want to get involved. I could get hurt or I could get killed. But the other side of your brain is telling you, or you could get involved and you could wind up going to jail.
Right. Well, the guy will, the gentleman, Mr. Penny, I shouldn't say the guy, mm-hmm. he will have his, day in court.
Yeah.
It says really sad and unfortunate that it's come to this. And, you know, when you have Marine training like that, you know, you're trained to, that's for the battlefield. Your training is not for in civilian situations, but.
This is a bad situation for Daniel Penny, I think, because this prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, and his team, they are going to say to the jury, this is a trained killer. He's a Marine. He should not have been using his skills. He should have waited for the police, and because he got involved, and then you're going to have the white-on-black angle. I certainly hope he gets a fair trial. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. But nearly $2 million has been raised on a GoFundMe page for his legal defense. Is that right?
That is correct. That is correct.
Kind of surprised the GoFundMe people have not shut that down.
Yeah, it's a crowd. It's actually
a crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding.
Okay, not, it's not GoFundMe.
No,
okay, gotcha.
No.
I got you.
No.
Okay.
Well, and I have been reading on some of these stories, but Jordan Neely, the person who died, this guy with the long rap sheet, he got on the train threatening to kill people. That's what witnesses are saying.
Yeah.
So he wasn't just ranting and yelling.
Yeah.
He said, "I don't care. I'll take a bullet if I have to. I'm going to kill people."
There are multiple witnesses to
yes.
this.
So
if Mr. Neely had hurt somebody, then this young Marine would be blamed for not doing anything.
Right.
Or could be. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Where does it end?
Yeah. Next story.
All right. Well, everything is just great at the border now.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so relieved.
It's been resolved.
Yeah.
No. 42, Title 42 ended on last Thursday. As expected, we saw all the crowds. At least if you watch Fox News, maybe Newsmax, you saw the video of people just thousands and thousands of encounters on a daily basis on our southern border. Well, now what's happening is, and our soldiers were sent down there to do paperwork on this. And so these holding areas now, there was a Tony Gonzalez, who is a Republican, went down to El Paso on Friday, and he talks a little bit about the overcrowded situation at immigration processing facilities. Cut number three.
It's meant to house 1,000 people. It's housing over 3,000. In one of these rooms, it's meant the max capacity is 90 people. There was over 400 in here. That's a 450% capacity. In another room, meant to house 120 people, there was over 700 people in there.
The other development on the weekend, a federal judge in Florida, acting on behalf of the Attorney General of Florida, ruled against the Biden policy. It's called bail, I think it's called. No, I'm using the wrong term there. Anyway, it was a policy that basically allowed illegals to be released without a date to show up in court. Parole.
Parole.
That's the term I was looking for. And the judge said, no, you can't do that. You can't allow people just to waltz into this country. And you have a piece of paper there that says, "And we'd like you to show up at some point to get your asylum claim assessed." And that's what the Biden administration was prepared to do. Okay, we don't have a date for you. We had reports last week where there are some dates 10 years from now that you had to show up in a courtroom.
Yeah, the this was brought, this legal argument or lawsuit was brought by the Attorney General of the state of Florida.
Correct.
And it was so she went to a federal judge and he said what you just said. We're going to halt Biden from letting people just go anywhere they want to in the country without a court date. It's in a, they're claiming asylum. All of them are claiming asylum.
Yes.
And it's just.
Which is bizarre, because asylum used to be, before the Biden administration, the plea for asylum was basically, I'm from El Salvador. My life is in danger because of my political views, something like that. And you're asking for asylum in the United States so that you are not killed back in your home country. That has gone out the window. Basically, the claim for asylum, or the claim of the need of asylum, is being handed out like candy. If you want to leave your country and come to ours, just ask for asylum. You remember, they were coached on this,
right,
even under the Obama administration.
But here's the I don't know how this is all going to shake out in the next few weeks. But what the judge says was, the Attorney General of Florida, you are correct. Biden should not be able to just let people go anywhere they want to in America if they don't at least have a court date set for their asylum hearing.
Right.
To which the White House responded, Karine Jean-Pierre responded, this is sabotaging our efforts. Think about what she's just saying.
Yes.
What she's saying is our efforts are to do away with the border and let everybody go where they want to in the country without any court date hearing for their asylum claims. That's what she's saying. And this judge has sabotaged our open borders efforts.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about this before. If you fly into New York today from some country in Europe, and our customs people there say, your passport's out of date, sir, some resident from Germany, you're on the plane back to Germany. They don't let you in.
No, no.
This is crazy what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, we hear more and more accounts up in Portland, Maine. They're getting a lot of folks from South Africa that come through our southern border.
Right.
They're ending up in Portland.
South Africa.
Yes. Just wait to this. How do they get from South Africa to Mexico? They have airplane tickets. Where do you get the money for an airplane ticket from South Africa to Mexico? And then you waltz up to the border and you say, I want in because I'm being persecuted in my country.
Right. I saw pictures, too. They're also giving them cell phones at the expense of the American taxpayer. Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And that is supposedly to be in communication.
Yeah,
with the court.
And they're giving these folks, I'm talking about the folks who are coming here illegally, they're giving them plane tickets and bus tickets to go all over the country. Normally this would be considered treason. I'm talking about what Biden is doing, because he's not defending the borders of our own country. In fact, he's doing away with them. Now, they'll use all this legal mumbo-jumbo. They're all claiming asylum. We're processing them, and we're telling them don't come and all that. Well, listen, the net effect of what you've done here is treasonous, because you've let millions and millions and millions, and still people come into the country illegally. So either we have laws that protect our borders and our country, and people, and there's a law and order, a way to go about coming into our country and becoming a citizen, or there's not. And Biden is saying, I don't care.
Nope.
I don't care. Let them all in. And whoever wants to come here. And I think he feels like there, at least at this moment, there's no political consequences to his behavior, because the Republicans don't have, listen, I don't know what all goes into impeachment or what that means exactly. It doesn't mean you have to leave office, right?
Well, impeachment are the charges brought against you by the House of Representatives.
So the Republicans, people say, well, why won't they impeach Biden over this? Well, that's a question for Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House. But as I mentioned before, he is a very narrow majority, 8-10 votes, something like that. There would be some Republicans who would say, well, I don't want to get into the impeachment argument. We'll decide this at the ballot box. I'm just saying that's what they would say. So I'm not even sure he would have enough members in his own party to impeach, because, you know, the Democrats, all of them would vote against it. And then you'd have to have a trial in the Senate. The Democrats control the Senate. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Is it an exercise in futility?
Yes.
I personally would be against impeaching President Biden over this issue. Because I don't think that's what impeachment is for. This is the result of the election. Okay, setting aside people's concerns about the validity of the election.
Right.
This is the result of a lot of people voting in favor of Joe Biden because they like his policies, and the fact that it's a bad policy is on the electorate. You put the guy in office. Let me just talk to the Democrats.
But those who favor law and order, we're going to suffer.
No, I know. But that's, as John McCain once said, elections have consequences. Yeah. Again, setting aside all the questions about 2020, the fact of the matter is I don't think this is a high crime or a misdemeanor. This is a bad policy from a bad president, and you get what you pay for.
Just be quiet, you liberal. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.